traitor?
No one.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Gators Online Show. I am Keith Niebuhr of Gators Online, and that is senior reporter Zach Albaverde. We've got a lot to talk about this show. Gators basketball, basketball transfer portal, some baseball stuff, some football stuff. There's a lot going on at the University of Florida, as always. But before we get going, Zach, we always have to bring in one of our big sponsors and pay the bills here. So take it away.
No doubt. I want to give a shout out, as we do at the start of each and every show, to Big Game Football Factory, our lead sponsor here at the Gators Online Show, and the producers of the football that you will see the Gators playing with during the 2025 season. And you can get your hands on the official game ball. Head over to biggameusa.com. Use the code Gators Online to get 10% off your entire order and free shipping for a limited time. The Gators designed this ball with Big Game USA to ensure they're comfortable with it. So it's truly one of a kind. You can start your collection of Florida's official game balls today. Perfect time to order for tailgates, autographs from your favorite athletes, or gifts. The code works on any football as well. And this just isn't just a football. It is a piece of Florida history. Be among the first to own it and snap yours today at biggameusa.com/gators.
That is a good-looking football. I got to get my hands on one of those. I know you already have one, Zach, which is BS if you ask me, but I'm gonna get one of these days. All right, look, basketball is hot, right? I mean, that's what everybody's talking about for the last few months, the championship season leading up to that, the Final Four, after that, transfer portal. And right now, Florida is actively recruiting one of the biggest names in the transfer portal. We're going to get you to talk about him at length here in a second, Zach, but his name is Boogie Fland, and he was a freshman point guard at Arkansas last year, played in 21 games, started 18 of them, put up some really solid stats, which I will get into in a minute. And Florida has sort of zeroed in on him, and he's also a guy that is testing the NBA draft waters. But what is the latest, Zach? What can you tell us about Florida's recruitment of Boogie Fland?
Yeah, obviously he's a name that has kind of been floated out there as a possibility. Once it became clear that Florida was not going to land Desmond Claude, and he, like Ben Henschel, was a guy who going through the NBA draft process, but still had the possibility of maybe exploring another school. And obviously in Henschel's case, deciding to go to school, based on what we've, learned so far and kind of looking into this situation, you wrote about it this week at Gators Online, Keith. Some comments from Todd Golden this week, who said that Florida is looking to add one more guy. That at this point, with where their roster is at, the amount of scholarships that they have, and just how things fit from a starting lineup standpoint and having the right pieces, they're really looking to add one more key player to the roster. And, Ben Henschel is a name that we've known about, but it looks like Boogie Fland has now been the guy that they've kind of zeroed in on because he decided to withdraw from the NBA draft. He went through the first couple days of the combine, pulled his name out of the draft. That news came from none other than his agent, Mike Miller. Yes, that Mike Miller, who told some national media folks that he was going to go and now explore the transfer portal. He is not returning to Arkansas. That is off the table. So he is looking at a new school for his sophomore season. And with that, Florida has zeroed in on him. It is my understanding that right now it looks like that is the guy that they're going after. Ben Henschel is still going through the combine, obviously, still going through the draft process. And I think the expectation is actually that he's going to stay in the draft, number one. Number two, I've heard that there could be some issues potentially of maybe trying to get him into school and everything that comes with trying to transfer credits and all that with an international prospect. So having said all that, Boogie Fland is the guy right now that they're boogieing with. The Gator staff has met with him. They've had conversations. It's even been reported that Florida's NIL collective has gotten involved already with Boogie as well. So a lot of groundwork that's been done behind the scenes so that the Gators can position themselves to land what would be a huge addition to their roster, Keith, and a guy that can play multiple guard positions, has played in the SEC, has played at a very high level. And honestly, if he probably doesn't get hurt last season, he's turning pro. So the fact that you're getting him potentially for a full year and to just elevate Florida's backcourt, this would be huge if this can come together for the Gators.
So who is Boogie Flynn? Let's tell everybody what we know about him. He's 6'2", 175 pounds. That's what he's listed at. Coming out of high school up in New York, he was the number one point guard recruit in the country. On3's Jamie Shaw wrote this about him when Boogie Flynn was in high school. He said, Boogie Flynn plays with a New York flair. And you got to like that. The guy's got some excitement to his game. He was a McDonald's All-American. You always take note of that. And in the McDonald's All-America game, Zach, in 2024, he finished with 17 points and had the game-winning shot for the East in an 88-86 win. In that game, he was 6 of 14, including 3 of 6 from three-point range. Now, last season at Arkansas, he averaged 13.5 points, 5.1 assists, 3.2 rebounds a game. Again, as a freshman, he only made 38% of his shots, 34.0% from deep. Yeah, not great, but that's something that he can obviously improve on. But only averaged 1.4 turnovers a game. Again, 5.1 assists, 1.8 turnovers a game. That's pretty good. That means he's not careless with the ball. He's not reckless. You're getting into your offense every series. As you mentioned, Zach, and this is interesting, he did sustain a right thumb injury last season. Zach, you know who this was against. Did you mention it already?
That's right. No, I didn't say who it was against. Familiar.
Go ahead.
A familiar school for you listeners out there. It actually got hurt against Florida. Looking at his season last year, he tried to play through it for a couple more games after sustaining that injury, just could not do it, ended up having to have surgery, and didn't return, Keith, until NCAA tournament time. And so he was basically out from mid-January up until March, and obviously by that time had kind of worked his way out of the starting rotation. He played 24 minutes in that first round matchup that they had against Kansas, where they beat them, and then played 20 minutes against St. John's. But then Boogie just played 9 minutes in their overtime loss to Texas Tech in the Sweet 16. You know, there's a lot of talent that Arkansas has coming back in their backcourt, and just honestly a huge need for him at Florida and some other schools, which we'll get into maybe some of the competition that Florida's facing. But he's got an opportunity to come to Florida and have a monster impact, Keith.
There's been so many good players come out of New York in my lifetime. And in fact, Florida's had some players out of New York. The great Ronnie Williams, the power forward in the early 80s, was a New York native. So here's what Yahoo says about him, Zach, just so people know what Florida could be getting, let's say. This is his Yahoo NBA draft scouting report. So he's fast, shifty, explosive, plays with pace, feel, and fluidity, shooting versatility. He made 47.6% of his catch-and-shoot three-pointers last year. That's pretty good, with a chunk of them, large chunk of them, coming off of movement. Doesn't shoot particularly well off the dribble yet and made just 25% of them. High-touch player from the line and on floaters. Playmaking. So they say he has a great feel navigating ball screens and locating the open man. Defense, he's a pest. You know, that's what you want out of a guard, right? Even though he's a little bit smaller. I mean, 6'2 is not small, but 175 pounds is. Says even though he's smaller, he can apply ball pressure thanks to his quick feet, and he's got very disruptive hands. The concerns for him going into the, you know, into the whole draft process was the size. And again, this is from an NBA point of view. I need to remind people that size, and then at rim finishing and shot selection. But this is a young guy with a lot of ability. And again, the New York flair, you love that. Those guys are confident. They come in ready to play. You know what I mean? I'm thinking of Stephon Marbury, Kenny Anderson, weren't they New York guys that played for Georgia Tech in their heyday? I mean, the guy can play. He's seasoned in the SEC. Zach, you know how hard it is to come in and really contribute a lot as a freshman in the SEC. He did for a program that did some good things. Now, I will say this. This is the part that's sort of interesting. Even though he contributed in that NCAA tournament win over Kansas, Arkansas sort of got hot late in the season, Zach, right?
That's right.
When he wasn't playing. So that, again, that's not all on him, but it is interesting. You look at all these things, but look, Todd Golden and his staff, I feel like they know what they're doing. Maybe I'm wrong here, but it seems like they have a good feel for these things. So I will put my trust in them. But Zach, Florida has already just done great in the portal this cycle, bringing in Xavier Lee, the point guard from Princeton, A.J. Brown, the guard from Ohio. And then you've got two really solid top 50 national recruits coming in, C.J. Ingram, who can play the two and the three. And who's the other one? Alex Lloyd, who could play the one and the two. You've got Isaiah Brown back. And then you might have all these bigs back too, Zach. Tell us about the bigs. What's the latest?
Well, I want to get on one more thing on Boogie, because, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of suitors for his services. And, you know, he's already got some schools involved. You know, we've reached out to his agent, which obviously the fact that he has Mike Miller representing him is something else, and probably not going to hurt for to hear, although I'm sure Mike is not, you know, steering him in any way. But Florida is obviously jumping out in front of this. I think they're going to put a lot of NIL into trying to land Boogie. And I imagine some other schools will as well. We put this out last night at Gators Online, or should I say Wednesday night during our live chat. Right now, the school that it appears will be the biggest competition for Florida is Kansas. So that is going to be the school to watch out for. Based on some sources that I've talked to, and Florida's already familiar with this. That was one of the finalists for Xavier Lee as well, that they had to battle with Kansas for his recruitment as well as St. John. So we'll see how it plays out. You know, whether that's is he a guy that just meets with these coaches and NIL representatives and makes a decision? Does he take some visits first? That's kind of the next thing that we're waiting to see what's the next step in his process. But he is certainly the name for all Florida fans to monitor and watch moving forward. And we will stay on top of it at Gators Online as well.
Yeah, it would just be so huge if Florida could land.
Man, I mean, now you're talking about a legitimate contender, Keith.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. To lose what Florida lost, top four out of the backcourt, to lose that and potentially – have a lineup that could compete for big things next year is pretty dang impressive. But again, Zach, a lot of that's also going to depend on, like we said just a minute ago, who's coming back in the front court. What's the latest there on those guys that you can tell us?
Yeah, obviously a big week for a handful of Florida players and a few former Florida players that are going through the NBA combine this week. And then for some of those Gators, they went through the G League camp as well. You know, was a little surprised, honestly, to not see Will Richard, one, get an invite to the NBA Combine and then get an invite after the way he performed in the G League Elite Camp, which was pretty well based on the results. But it was him and Ruben Chinyelu that went through the G League Elite Camp, which is this all takes place in Chicago over, you know, the course of a week. The best standout performers from the G League Elite Camp then get invited to the combine. So folks that remember last year, that was Walter Clayton Jr. and Zion Pullen that were in that category trying to get an invite to the combine. Neither of them got it. And that factored into Walter Clayton deciding to come back for a senior season. So this year in the combine, you've got Clayton going through it along with Elijah Martin and Alex Condon, who this is a very big, big combine for him. This is probably going to determine what he ends up doing in terms of his decision. He, along with Chinyelu, have both declared for the draft as sophomores while maintaining their college eligibility. Both have said, hey, if we come back to school, we're coming back to Florida. And that's kind of what we're looking for, along with to see where Walt and Elijah and Will Richard end up. I think, you know, based on some of the mock projections, it looks like Walter Clayton is a pretty solidified first-round pick. And we can talk about how he performed in the shooting drills in Chicago. Elijah Martin is a guy that started to get some mock draft projections in the second round. And I want to say even this week I saw Will Richard got a projection for a second-round pick. So would like to see that trio hear their name called and get a chance to play at the next level, because I think each guy has shown that they're deserving, and certainly Walt has got a chance to be special at the next level. And then for Condon, you know, this is a big week for him. He did not go through the scrimmages on Wednesday, which was, or either Wednesday or Tuesday, I forget which day that happened, but he took part in the shooting drills, but he did not go through the scrimmages. He's obviously meeting with teams, getting measured, going through, you know, the different tests and stuff that they have for the players. And his projections vary. Most of them have him as a second round pick. He's got a couple late first round projections, but he came out this week and spoke about where he stood. Now, he said going into the draft, and we wrote this at Gators Online, that he was going in, Keith, with the mindset that he was going to stay in the draft, that was how he was approaching the combine and going into it. And he said, hey, that's how you got to treat it. You know, if you don't go into it with a different mindset, you're not going to get the results you want. So he's attacked it with the expectation that he would be able to perform well enough to raise his stock and go in the first round. Whether that happens or not remains to be seen. I think just reading in between the lines and based on his comments, it seems like he's leaning towards coming back to school, and he would just have to get an assurance from one of these teams that just love him and say, hey, we are going to take you in the first round. That is going to be our pick. It's guaranteed. And if he doesn't get that in a higher enough pick that would put him in the salary range that he hopes to be, I think he's going to come back to school. Todd Golden appeared on ESPN2 this week and made some comments that suggested certainly that that's one, kind of his expectation, but two, kind of his push toward Alex. He didn't shy away from the fact, Keith, that he's kind of telling Alex, hey, man, you're getting these second-round projections, maybe some late first rounds, but you can come back and then next year be a lottery pick if you take your game to the next level as a junior. So Todd is making that pitch to him. Maybe he's reminding him of that after each day at the NBA Combine. But he's the big name we're waiting on. I will say that with Chinyelu not getting an invite to the Combine, I mean, I would think that all but determines that he's going to come back to school. But we'll have to wait and see what happens in the next coming days, Keith.
Chinyelu reminds me, he's kind of a modern-day Eugene McDowell, the power forward with the perfect power forward frame in the 1980s that played for Florida. And Eugene could score 15, 16 points a game at the college level, 8, 9 rebounds a game, physical presence, muscular, just like Chinyelu. You know, you don't realize how muscular he is until you really look at his photos, Ruben. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's chiseled. But Eugene was, I believe, a second or third round pick and didn't quite have the offensive game to make it in the NBA and ended up having a very good career in Europe. And tragically, he died young. I think he had a heart attack in Florida. But outstanding player. Chinyelu to me is him all over again. He's just got to continue to work on that offensive game, Zach. I mean, Zach, you follow the NBA as much as anybody I know, and I love the NBA too. Would you agree that another year could really do him wonders? And then we'll talk about Walter Clayton in a second. But Chinyelu seems to have the defensive ability, the leaping ability, just continued work and forward progression on his offensive game, to me, is kind of the next step for him. What do you think?
Agreed. And he spoke to that. He had two workouts with NBA teams ahead of the combine. He worked out with the Sacramento Kings, and then he worked out with the Portland Trail Blazers. And he had two interviews with the media after both of those workouts. And he talked about, you know, obviously that he's shown a lot on the defensive end. He's shown physicality. He's obviously shown just of toughness. But he does feel like he has more to offer on the offensive end. I think he recognizes that he hasn't shown that, but he definitely feels like he's capable of it. And it is something that I think, should he come back for his junior year, is going to be something that he wants to maybe showcase a little bit more. He believes that he can shoot the ball when given the opportunity. And obviously last year, Keith, they didn't need him to be an offensive scorer.
That's right.
And an offensive weapon. I mean, for him to go in there and really kind of be the presence in the paint and get rebounds and box guys out, that's what they needed. I will also say, too, that I think that while we'll see more offensive game from Chinyelu potentially, we're definitely and should definitely see it from Condon. Because if he comes back for his junior year, one of the big things that he wants to do, and he's talked about it with me after the national championship game, he spoke about it throughout his draft process, is become more of a perimeter player and showcase his three-point shot and be able to be a guy that can be a stretch four. I think it's important to note, Keith, as we talk about Florida's roster rebuild, we talk about them reloading their backcourt, all that they lost on the offensive end and the scoring production that those guards had. One thing that maybe we're not accounting for is the amount of scoring that Florida's bigs could see them increase next season. Because one, you're going to have Tommy Howell playing the three, So he's going to produce more points from that spot. He's going to take a lot more three-pointers and be a wing player. But I also think Condon making a concerted effort to be more of a perimeter player, take three-pointers, and then Ruben Chinyelu coming out and being vocal about the fact that, hey, I want to showcase more on the offensive end. We could see each one of those guys score more and score in more ways, and that could offset some of the production that Florida had from its backcourt last season. And if the Gators can get that, obviously along with Boogie Flynn and Xavier Lee and their other backcourt players, I mean, that could be a really dynamic offense if those pieces come together.
I agree. And you know, if Alex Condon's shooting more from deep, you still have Chinyelu underneath. You still have Micah Hanglogden underneath to get rebounds. You have Tommy Howe, who's as good as any, is flying into the lane and grabbing rebounds. Now, the other thing to consider is if those guys, those inside guys are taking more shots, it stands to reason they're going to take more fouls. So they got to up their free throw shooting too.
Correct.
Because you're losing some damn good free throw shooters and those guys that just departed. Now, Walter Clayton, you wrote about him this week, how he did shooting at the NBA stuff that's going on. We know he can shoot, Zach. And again, you watch the NBA a lot. And I'm looking at this Yahoo scouting report. Strength, shooting versatility, strength, shot creation, strength, clutch. I mean, that's an obvious one. Concerns, defense. This is what Yahoo says. This isn't me. Everybody says I'm so negative. This is Yahoo. He's aloof at times. He loses focus. He blows assignments. He's not a strong on-ball defender. Is shot-making prowess going to be enough to overcome this flaw? Perhaps to earn a role, but to be a big minutes NBA player, he needs to be more locked in on D. Fair criticism or a little bit harsh? Seems a little harsh.
No, I think it's a fair criticism because he's come out and said himself that he's got to be more solid on the defensive end and show that he cannot be a liability there. But I mean, we got to say he was known and has a reputation for being an offensive player, but the biggest play that he made all of last season was on the defensive end. And I definitely think being a guy with his athleticism and just his football background and physicality, like he's got the tools to play defense and become a better defender. I don't think it's ever going to be one of his strong suits. He just cannot be a liability. And I think possession to possession, trying to be more consistent that way is kind of how he can probably take his defensive game to the next level. But that is the one thing if you're going to point to in his game that is not certainly as elite as some of his other strengths.
One other thing that listed as a weakness, and this is interesting, at rim finishing. He made only 51.3% of his layups in the half court per synergy, lacks explosiveness, and isn't a great finisher through contact. Again, this isn't to say he's weak at this area. This is pointing out weakness relative to all his strengths. I need to say that too. So if you're going to nitpick everybody, I mean, Michael Jordan had weaknesses in his game. Sure. Didn't mean they were weaknesses, but they were the weak part of his otherwise extraordinary game. I love Walter Clayton. It's going to be fascinating to see what he does, Zach, because again, this is what people tend to forget. This was a guy that was an outstanding football player in high school and could have played Division I football as a defensive back. So the elite athleticism is there. I feel like he's a guy that can rise to a challenge. Yeah. And you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So we'll see how he goes. Is that it for basketball, Zach? You ready to
I'll mention some of these numbers that he got. He did participate in these shooting drills and he stood out. His best drill was the spot up shooting drill. He knocked down 20 of 25 attempts, which was tied with three other players for the most made at the NBA combine. If you can believe it, he excelled really well at the 3-point star drill as well. In the official drill, he hit 17 of 25 shots, which was tied for the third best mark at the combine. But in warmups, he hit 21 of 25. And there was a video circulating on social media where you can see him going through that warmup from three. So that was very impressive. If you can believe it, he made all 10 of his free throw shots. The guy who led the nation in free throw percentage at Iona and set a Florida record for 42 consecutive free throws made all 10 of his foul shots at the combine. I know, shocking. Now, where he wasn't as great, or maybe his shoot as high, they had the 3-point slide drill. He was 16-27, and probably his lowest point of his performance in the shooting drills was off the drip, which is certainly a key indicator for the next level. He made 20 of 30 attempts, so certainly didn't shoot it as well there as he did some of his other drills. But you know, seeing some of the reports about him this week and certainly the projections, it seems like he is continuing to cement himself as a first round pick. It didn't hurt this past week, Keith, when Rick Pitino decided to fire off a tweet and compared him to Jalen Brunson, as Brunson's, you know, tearing it up in the NBA playoffs. Now Rick Pitino is saying that as he's sitting in Madison Square Garden watching Jalen Brunson do this. Yeah. And that tweet, that post that he sent out got a lot of traction. But I will say, shout out to Todd Golden, because he called that player comp before the season, and he said it multiple times. In fact, he said that he sold Walter Clayton on coming back to school, switching to point guard, and compared him to Jalen Brunson as to how he would play in Florida's offense. So I got to give Todd Golden credit there, because he called that months in advance, and then Rick Pitino tweets it, and everybody goes, oh, Rick Pitino compared him to Jalen Brunson. But Todd did it first. And I will say, watching Jalen Brunson, and I just watched his past series, I could definitely – I mean, Walter Clayton makes a lot of the same plays that Jalen Brunson makes. And Jalen Brunson also seems like at times to be somewhat of a spotty defender. So a little bit of a comparison there too, but that's kind of how Walter's faring so far in Chicago this week.
I always like to judge, we're going to move on to other sports here, but how does a guy do, not necessarily just in his best moments, but in his worst moments? And in Walter Clayton's worst games, he was still there. He was still present. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was still active. He was still making free throws. He was still getting to the rim. He'd still make a shot here or there. And so even on his off days, he's still just a guy that's in the action. I love him. Just a, you know, just a, such a fun player to watch. All right, Zach, we got an ad read and then we'll go on to some football here. So what do you got for us?
That's right. Want to give a shout out to Roback.com as we do each and every show. There's only one way to describe Roback, and that's the best fit, best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they're completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. They have released so many items with their newly licensed game day collection, and it's fantastic. Novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q-zip designs from some of your favorite schools, including the Florida Gators. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple college athletes, past and present, and are becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Roback.com for a generous 20% off all new customers. That's spelled R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com. 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with the code Gators20.
And I'm going to spare everybody the photo of me wearing the Roback pullover today, because we've got so much to talk about.
Next week, folks. Next week.
Yeah, next week. Today at On Three, Clark Brooks. Actually, it was written by Thomas Goldkamp, who, as everybody knows, or a lot of you know, covered the Gators once.
Shout out to TG.
That's right. Clark Brooks, he was is the one who put it out. And it's it being a list of On3's top 100 players in college football for the 2025 season. Six Gators made the list, Zach. And I'm looking at myself here, and I see the sunlight's coming through. I got to fix that. But DJ Lagway, of course, number 12 player in college football for 2025. And here are the other five Gators who made it. Number 29, pretty good for a center. Jake Slaughter, consensus All-American last year, first-team consensus All-American. Number 53, defensive tackle Caleb Banks. Number 69, this is a good sign, Austin Barber, your left tackle. Number 75, your strong side edge, Tyreek Sapp. And number 81, wide receiver Eugene Wilson, took a red shirt last year, had 19 catches, got hurt. Coming back full speed this year. But six guys, again, DJ Lagway, Jake Slaughter, Caleb Banks, Austin Barber, Tariq Sapp, and Eugene Wilson. And quickly, Zach, I'm going to just say who are the top 10 players in the country so people can have something to compare it to. Jeremiah Smith, the receiver at number one. Edge, Dylan Stewart of South Carolina. South Carolina, number two. Safety, Caleb Downs of Ohio State, number three. Edge, Colin Simmons of Texas, four. Number five is Arizona State's terrific quarterback, Sam Levitt. Number six, Ryan Williams, the talented receiver at Alabama. Number seven, the cornerback, Leonard Moore of Notre Dame. Number eight, another SEC quarterback, Lenore Sellers of South Carolina. Number nine, Texas linebacker, Anthony Hill. And number 10, Arch Manning of Texas. And that's the one that sort of got people talking on our board. How could anybody rank him above DJ Lagway based on what they've done so far? But what do you think of those rankings, Zach? Any thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think pretty spot on from On3 to have six players in the top 100, because you look at some of the other preseason projections or kind of takes on rosters and personnel from some of the outlets like PFF, which we'll get into, in ESPN. This is kind of about how they see Florida's top players kind of stacking up nationally. And to be honest, I mean, this is what you want. You know, you want to have a marquee quarterback that is viewed as one of the best in the country. You want to have players along both lines of scrimmage that are veterans, that are guys that are going to be able to kind of anchor both of those lines of scrimmage. And Florida's got multiple guys in that. And so that's great. And then obviously you want to have playmakers as well. And Florida's got that in Eugene Wilson. And On3 is not the only publication that is very, very high on Eugene Wilson, who, by the way, sidebar, side note, we have been writing at Gators Online, I want to say dating back to right before spring camp, when we were putting out some of the insider stuff we were hearing from off-season workouts. We reported that Eugene Wilson was getting big and that he was recovering well coming off surgery, and that he had put in a ton of work in the weight room. And I wrote about it a couple times, but then I went out to on Logo Talk with Silk, and he started to bash Eugene a little bit while I was on there with him, and I gave him a little time out. I said, "Hold on now, Eugene is having a big time off season." And on that appearance on Logo Talk, I said to him, "Hey, this guy has made Percy Harvin like gains this off season. Now that's in the weight room." And for the Florida fans who know and remember, Percy Harvin, as incredible as he was as a freshman and as a sophomore, he kind of transformed his body from 2007 to 2008. And when he came into his junior season, he was absolutely jacked. And I remember that clear as day. And seeing Trey Wilson and how he's progressed this offseason, some of the things that I've been told from sources, that was why I made that comparison. I know it kind of raised some eyebrows at the time, but video came out of Eugene Wilson this week going through workouts this offseason, and he is absolutely jacked, neck bulging out, shoulders bulging out, has definitely put on some added size and strength and weight. And why it's important is this is a guy who, had a collarbone injury in 2023 and had to miss games, and obviously dealt with some injuries last year, but one of which was a congenital issue. But nonetheless, the way that he plays and is used, to have some more durability and more size on him is huge for Florida. He's going to be playing more in the slot this year as well. So big things potentially coming from number three this year, and On3 is expecting that.
Zach, you just did a great job, because the last 5 minutes while you were talking, I've tried everything to get the sunlight to stop shining on me, and putting up a drape and a towel and a shirt. Nothing's worked.
The sun heard me talking about Eugene Wilson, so it just decided to come out.
The sun is always shining on me. Zach, another thing that you wrote, I did that one on the On3 Top 100 today. I recapped that. You wrote one, I want to say, just a few days ago. And I'm looking at it right now. Five Florida Gators players ranked among the top 10 players in the country at their respective positions. Do you want me to read who they are, or do you want to read it?
Yeah, I'll go through. I mean, it's kind of a lot of the same names that we just talked about, but it's good to hear that it's just not one site, one outlet that is very high on the Gators. It's multiple sites. And no surprise that Pro Football Focus has Jake Slaughter ranked as the number one interior offensive lineman in the country, coming off his first team All-American season last year. And he leads a group that also includes DJ Lagway. No surprise there. Tyreek Sapp, no surprise there. And also Eugene Wilson. Despite only playing four games last year, Keith, Pro Football Focus has Eugene Wilson ranked as the number 10 returning wide receiver in college football for 2025. And a lot of that, of course, is based on how well he performed as a freshman, earning freshman All-American honors. He set a couple school records during his freshman season and was very productive. And then, I mean, don't forget, before he got hurt last year, he also went off a couple times last season, especially in that Samford game. So Pro Football Focus very high on Eugene Wilson. And then they had a fifth player. They put out all these positions, and they had ranked the top 10 for each one. Well, Florida had a fifth player, Caleb Banks, that received honorable mention, so that meaning he was ranked the number 11th player from Pro Football Focus from their defensive line ranking. So you're talking about five guys for the Gators that are ranked in the top 10 or top 11 from Pro Football Focus heading into 2025. I mean, I don't know the last time Florida had this many players receiving that kind of national recognition going into a season. I mean, you're talking about a handful of guys, and maybe you can make an argument for another one here or there, but I like every single one of those picks. PFF didn't have Austin Barber, but again, On3 recognized him as one of those guys, someone that could have came out and turned pro this year. So again, don't know the last time Florida's had this much top talent in quite a while.
Well, that was one thing I was going to ask you. If there were, you could pick one guy or two guys, J. Michael Sturdivant. I mean, is there anybody out on that team that you think, yeah, I probably would have put them in the top 10? Or is that too hard to say from our point of view, because we don't get to see the wide spectrum of – you and I don't get to watch every single team and evaluate every single player like these people do. We're in the Florida bubble. I know, Jack, you try to watch a lot of games, but during a game day, you're pretty busy usually, you know what I mean? So, but is there anybody that comes to mind where you think, eh, this guy probably should have made this list somewhere?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. You know, I ranked Florida's, you know, top 20 players prior to the spring. Yeah. And I would like to find that story, because, you know, you might be able to make an argument for one of these guys.
I mean, is it Jaden Baugh, Aaron Gates?
Jaden Baugh, no, would probably be, to me, the first one that comes to mind as a guy that could have earned a role there. Now, if you look back last year, he was actually one of Florida's highest rated players on offense. So he's a guy that certainly falls into that category. You know, on the defensive side, you know, he didn't rank necessarily as high, but I know from a tackle standpoint, you know, Pup Howard performed very well. But yeah, those would be kind of the two. Here were my rankings, Keith, for my top 10 players for the Gators for 25. I had DJ Lagway number one, Jake Slaughter number two, Tyreek Sapp number three, Caleb Banks number four, Jaden Baugh number five, Eugene Wilson number six, Pup Howard number seven, and Aaron Gates number eight. So you just named the three guys that I probably would have put in that conversation. Obviously, you can't really put Gates there, I think, coming off of that injury. But those would be the other ones, I think, that are in the discussion. But if you had to put anybody, I would say Jaden Baugh.
Okay. Anybody else we want to talk about football? Are you ready to move on to another sport? I always tend to move on, and then you got to slow down, dummy. And so anything else we want to talk about football related today?
No, you know, I think the only, you know, I mentioned, you know, that ESPN has been coming out, you know, with a lot of content this past week, just kind of assessing the Florida roster, assessing the Florida program and its off season, and just kind of where they stack up nationally. I thought it was interesting, looking at where they ranked Florida's incoming class in terms of impact players. Obviously, the Gators signed a top 10 class in the 2025 cycle, 27 prospects from the high school ranks, which make up, where they're ranked in the rankings. And then they got a half dozen transfers as well. Well, ESPN ranked the top 25 groups based on the impact that they think some transfers and recruits are going to make immediately in 2025. So the Gators had a top, 10 class, which again, doesn't include transfers. But from ESPN, they ranked Florida 23 among the top 25 teams. So they feel like the impact that they'll get from their freshmen and transfers in 25 is kind of right around the outside of the top 20. And when you look at their list, Keith, a lot of the schools that they put in the top 15, top 20 are schools that have a lot of transfers in their class. And I, as you would expect, those are more likely to the players that are more likely to come in and make an immediate impact because, they're college ready. And there's usually a need there if they're coming in as a portal player. So as we all know, and we've talked about on this show and wrote about on Gators Online, the Gators don't have a portal heavy class this cycle. And so because of that, they're maybe not going to, rank somewhat very high in a category like this with this context. Now, they certainly got some impact freshmen now. Dallas Wilson, Vernell Brown, those two safeties, which Keith wrote about in the spring. These are all guys that could play right away. And, I wrote at Gators Online, Keith, well, what does all this mean? Because ESPN said, hey, the impact recruits that Florida has will be those two wide receivers and two safeties. And then they listed the impact transfers as J. Michael Sturdivant, Harrison Bailey, and Michael Caraway Jr., who was a top 300 transfer in the On3 rankings. Now, we don't expect Caraway to start at cornerback. You look at what Florida lost in 2024. They got to replace starters at wide receiver. They got to replace starters at right tackle, nose tackle, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, Shamar James's position, cornerback with Jason Marshall moving on, and punter. Some of those transfers that they added are going to step right in and start. Obviously, Sturdivant, Tommy Doman, who we discussed last week. But I think what's interesting and, again, speaks to why Florida didn't load up in the transfer portal this cycle is a lot of those positions that I just named where the Gators are losing starters, they are relying on returning players and guys that they have kind of developed to step into those starting roles. They didn't necessarily go portal hunting. At cornerback, they're relying on DeJon Johnson and Cormani McLean. At outside linebacker, it's George Gums and LJ McCray. Obviously, at inside linebacker, Shamar's spot, it's Miles Graham season, right? Nose tackle, that's probably the one spot where they could have and should have added somebody. Still, they've got two returning players there that they're going to probably rely on in Lyons and Burrow. And then obviously at right tackle, they made the decision to not go after an offensive lineman in the portal because of Bryce Lovett and Kane Jones. So, just interesting to see how that's kind of viewed from a national media perspective. I think it's honestly a good thing that Florida maybe doesn't have a portal heavy class this cycle because where they're at this point in their roster building, that's not where they should be. And they should have these guys that they've recruited, developed for the past 2-3 years, kind of ready to step into their own. And that's seemingly where Florida is kind of what they're counting on this year, save for a few spots here and there.
That's right. Well, they believe at Florida that they are elite, high quality developers of talent. They have a real belief in themselves, and we're going to find out just how elite they are. That's not a criticism. We're just, look, I mean, they believe in themselves, and this is what kind of how they figured things would go. And this is the path they wanted to be on. Zach, we got a little done with football, or
done with football.
Of course, done with football, but we got another ad. Go for it, my man.
Absolutely. As we switch topics and get into baseball, definitely want to give a shout out to MyPerfectFranchise.net, which has a really cool baseball initiative going for Gators Online fans this spring. Andy is a huge baseball fan, and from his line of work, he's seen firsthand the fantastic traits that baseball players bring to the franchise world. Andy is offering a donation of $500 to $1,000 to Florida's baseball NIL if anyone from our site purchases a franchise. We think it's a cool opportunity to help the baseball program, and now is the perfect time to contact Andy to learn more. His services are 100% free, and he's here to help if you have any questions about business ownership with franchises. Head to MyPerfectFranchise.net to learn more, or you can text or call Andy anytime at 404-973-9901.
All right, it's time to talk some baseball. We're recording this. We need to tell everybody what day is it? On Thursday afternoon, obviously the sunlight's in, so it's afternoon. And so Florida is going to open the series before the show runs, so we'll let everybody know. But regardless of what happened in that first game, they would still have a chance to win the series either way.
Yeah, that's right.
But we can talk in general terms. So, Zach, going into the series, Florida 35-18 overall, 13-14 in the SEC. They were 1-11 at one time. Now, again, some of the series, they did play all the teams in the bottom half of the league, Mississippi State, Missouri, but took two or three from Arkansas and then just took two or three at number one Texas. And quite frankly, if there's not a rain delay in game two, who knows what happens? That could have been a clean sweep. I can't even say this. A sweep for the Gators. They're playing.
Should have been.
Yeah, they're playing lights out right now. Okay, and it's starting with this pitching. Like, they've been hitting pretty well all season, Zach. But the pitching, Aiden King, the freshman, 5-2, 2.90 ERA, so brilliant last week against Texas. Liam Peterson, 8-2, 3.81 ERA, which is just outstanding in college baseball. How do you pronounce Pierce's last name? Coppola or Coppola?
Coppola.
Okay. Well, I got it wrong both times. Okay. Here's Coppola. Coming back from injury, 3-0, 1.15 ERA. Another strong game last week. Things are sort of clicking. The team ERA is just barely over 5, which, again, is not bad, especially considering they just had about an awful month where everybody was just hitting the hell out of the ball against Florida, Zach. This team is rounding into form, or has rounded into form. And right now, there's a bunch of projections. Everybody's got them in the NCAA tournament. Most people have them as a number two seed, but they are climbing. Baseball America, number two seed projection for Florida at the Chapel Hill region, University of North Carolina. USA Today has them number two seed at the Chapel Hill region. D1 Baseball, number two seed for Florida, projected at the Raleigh, North Carolina regional, home of North Carolina State. And On Threes projection has Florida, again, a two seed at the Conway, South Carolina regional, home of Coastal Carolina, which does have a national title, by the way. They're moving up. Zach, if they win this series this weekend, are they going to be hosting that first weekend of the NCAA tournament?
They would have an argument. They would have an argument. I don't know what they would still need to do in the SEC tournament to then solidify that. I think some other results might need to go their way. But the way that they're playing, if they can finish the season with another series victory against a top 20 opponent, for it to be Florida's sixth straight series win in a row, I don't know how you know, certainly nobody would argue that they're not deserving and that they're not playing at the level that is a team that should be hosting. And certainly if that happens and Florida does host, those teams that get stuck in the Gainesville regional are not going to be happy about it. I still am just very impressed by the way that they've turned it around. I know that Kevin O'Sullivan has said in recent weeks that they maintain that their confidence, that they always believe that it was going to happen. But I still remember when he was, you know, kind of going off in those post-game press conferences and railing on his pitching, railing on his players' effort, going off on umps in the first inning of games. I mean, it was not looking good for the Gators, and they really have just completely turned a corner. They found their confidence. You're right, Keith. If that rain delay doesn't happen, I think they sweep Texas. And just to see the level that they're playing at, how they've adjusted to, once again, their pitching rotation getting thrown off the past couple of weeks, which honestly, I think it kind of worked out for them the way that it played out with Pierce getting the start on Friday, which hadn't happened in a while. And then the Gators getting off to such a good start in that first game, being able to go with Liam in the second game. And then Aiden King, he did so well in that Sunday, series clincher that Kevin O'Sullivan is once again going to start him in the final series of this series on Saturday against Alabama. So really good stuff from Florida's pitching staff. But to your question originally, Keith, yes. To me, I think that they obviously have to take this series. If they sweep Alabama, I think that almost puts them I don't want to say guarantee, but now it's a real conversation.
You know, if you look at the RPI, and it's not the end all be all, but if you look at the RPI, Florida's 13th. Coastal Carolina, one of the places that people have them projected to go, is 12th, one spot ahead. North Carolina, a place where we're seeing a lot of projections for Florida, is two spots ahead. NC State, which, again, one of the projections had Florida going to Raleigh to play in an NC State regional, they're only 25th in the RPI. So, obviously, to me, Florida's got to be in that conversation. I think it would be as good as the SEC is. It's still, if they have a losing record in conference play, that would be hard to give somebody a host.
Correct.
But 500, 16, and 14, again, they very well, by the time we record this, they could have potentially lost the night before. So but if they win the series, that gets them 500 or better in the SEC, and I think you can make a compelling argument. You know, but this team's back has essentially been against the wall, Zach, since they were 1-11 in the SEC. I'm not sure going away for a regional. Look, we all want to
great be point.
Home. We all want to be at home to see them at home. I like going to the games. You like going to the games. My sister's got season tickets. She's at every game. You know, but they've been living uncomfortably for a couple months now, and they've been kicking ass. Can I say that? They've been kicking tail. And maybe that's the way this team needs to live. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But what they've done has been so impressive. And they've always hit the ball throughout the season. That really wasn't an issue, correct, Zach? It was getting guys healthy and all that.
I mean, it's just, you know, you think you've seen it all with Kevin O'Sullivan. And, he's had these different stretches during his tenure where, Florida's had some seasons that maybe haven't, been up to par. This is the first time that I've ever seen a turnaround like this under his watch. Even at this point in his career and at this stage in his time at Florida, he's still finding new challenges at UF and new things that to go through with his teams. I can imagine that regardless of what happens moving forward, this has probably been a really rewarding season for him and his staff. They've been to the mountaintop, they've won SEC tournaments and obviously been to Omaha and they've won it all once before. This is kind of a different challenge, different terrain that they've had to navigate through this year. And to be able to come out on the other side of it in this position, it just once again speaks to how elite of a coach Kevin O'Sullivan is, how well that he has recruited and that these players and this roster that he assembled, it was always there. The talent and the ability was always there, even when they were 1-11 and it looked like they were done. Sometimes a lot of times you get to these baseball seasons and you kind of seen this story before. And you know how things need to play out. This is unlike any story that we've ever seen. And it's just been cool to watch unfold.
Zach, I had people that are baseball experts, they say. none of us are. Look, tell me that they were done. They were done. They were not making an NCAA regional. It was done. We had people on our message board. We love making fun of our readers. They're the best. Believe me. We love them. We love them all. But it's funny because – you and I can't jump off ledges. We have to sort of be calm, even when we want to jump off ledges, Jack, Zach, we can't. But there were people jumping off ledges. There were people, hey, I'll see you guys next season. I'm out. Check, please. Yeah. And what's happened has been remarkable. Regardless of what happens from here out, it's been remarkable. But there are dangerous teams. Zach, I got a question for you. Would you rather be a 2 seed going to Gainesville that first weekend? Or would you rather be a 1 seed UF is the hosting, two seed coming to your place, the hottest team in the country coming to your place. Okay.
I guess if you're in that scenario, you probably would still rather host.
Yeah.
Than to get the Gators coming to your ballpark. But yeah, because like I just said, I think any team that gets matched up against Florida in a Gainesville regional has got to be coming in there like, man, we got the worst draw of the tournament.
Zach, it was a few weeks ago we thought, did they have any pitching at all? And now we're looking at this lineup. And if you think about it, if now Pierce has to keep this up, right? He's just getting back from injury.
Correct.
But the potential is there to have three legit starters. There aren't many teams that have that. They couldn't. I remember tracking that Georgia game a couple months ago. Every time I checked the stat tracker, two more guys for Georgia had hit one 480 feet. I mean,
yeah, you know what I mean? That was a tough series.
And now you're talking about potentially having, I feel like I'm yelling here, but potentially having three guys with the capability of being your G1 starter on a weekend series, right? So you go into a four-team regional. Now, in the old six-team regional, anything could happen. But these four-team regionals, you got three guys. They go out and give you five, six decent innings. And that may be all you need. But this pitching staff, and you got Clemente coming in.
Yeah, Clemente's been clutch, man.
Yeah, yeah. They're a dangerous team. Who's one guy on this team, Zach? Last question about baseball. We'll let everybody out here. Who's one guy that is not getting much attention that probably should be? Anybody come to mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really like what Justin Nadeau has brought. Okay. You know, he's made some clutch plays. He's batting at the end of that lineup. Obviously, a lot of guys ahead of him in the order that get a lot of praise and recognition. But Justin Nadeau he's made some timely plays for the Gators. And like I said, I mean, I can name a few, but he's probably maybe one that doesn't get as much praise as some of the others.
Okay, I'm looking at the last thing. I'm looking at the college RPI. Texas is now fourth in the RPI, but Florida won two of three. Arkansas is fifth in the RPI. Florida won two of three. And Alabama, who Florida's playing this weekend, is number eight. Florida State, which I believe Florida won two of three from. And imagine this, Florida State's number nine. If Florida's pitching was bad on the weekends 2-3 months ago, they were throwing middle-of-the-week guys against FSU and still beating FSU. So this has been just one fascinating run. Let's see if these guys can keep it up. Zach, anything else you want to add? You want to argue about anything? What NBA
No, playoff, just want to give a shout-out to all the other UF sports out there. You know, yeah. I mean, you got softball at home this weekend in NCAA tournament action. Lacrosse team has got it going. And obviously the golf team has advanced to the national championship. So yeah. It's exciting time right now for UF sports.
That's right. Let me put it out. You just put it up there for me. And I have told JC Deacon, the men's golf coach, if he gets to the championship match, I'm going. I will fly out there. I've got enough United miles. won't be first class. I'll probably be sitting with like three golden retrievers in the back of the plane, but I will be there. Okay. I will be there. Yeah. Women's golf team. There's a lot going on. Track and field outdoor season, Zach. You know what that means?
Well, yeah, it's mouse time, baby.
Right, man. You never count that guy out. So, you know, it just feels like you and I both noticed this at the spring game, just the vibe outside the stadium and in the stadium, what the basketball team did for the school, for the fans, for the athletic program as a whole. It just seems like what was that old saying that I think one of the presidents, Ronald Reagan, used to say, it's morning in America. Doesn't it feel like it's morning in Gainesville again right now? It just feels like something's cooking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what it feels like. There's a real energy around Gainesville these days.
Yeah. And I think at the very least, you know, for the fan base too, they've gotten a taste of this success and this championship run that the basketball team has gone on. So now I think there's obviously an appetite for it. I think there's probably more support behind Florida sports than ever before. Just because of what that does and kind of the domino effect.
Yeah.
But I have to think too, I mean, look, these athletes and coaches are motivated so much internally. They've got so much fire within. They don't need any extra motivation. Having said that, I mean, I can only think that seeing a prominent team on campus and a prominent athletic program on campus win a championship like that, got to get your juices fired up a little bit. And I definitely think that it's had an impact and a lasting effect. And at the end of the day, these teams are going to have to go out there and win it on the field. But it's just been a great spring for Florida sports, and it's not slowing down anytime soon.
It just, when one team does it, especially a prominent one, football, basketball, it just seems more realistic for the other sports.
Correct.
Hey, these guys did it. We can do it. We're Florida, for God's sakes. Yeah. I never liked, I don't want to be too nitpicky, but I never liked when there were promotions for Florida that said, and this is just I'm not being critical, but just a critique. Why not Florida? I never looked at it like, why not Florida? To me, you'd say, why not Middle Tennessee State, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's, this is Florida.
Yeah. This
is Florida, man. That's the expectation. One last thing, Zach, there. Another reason to pull for Florida. You and I love covering winners. Everybody watching loves winning. But there's nothing better, nothing more entertaining on this planet than a cocky Gator fan base. It's the best. Oh. I need this in my life, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need that. But Zach, you did a great job as always. Make sure you follow Zach's coverage of the Florida-Alabama baseball series this weekend at GatorsOnline.com. If you like what we're doing, go down below, hit the like and subscribe button. Leave a comment.
Big recruiting weekend too, man.
Big recruiting weekend. Blake Alderman, Corey Bender of Gators Online have you covered there. But hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, leave a comment. Go to GatorsOnline.com right now. Check out all the good work. We got a lot of intel posting on a daily basis. So for senior reporter Zach Albaverde, I am Keith Niebuhr. This was the Gators Online Show. We'll do it again next week.